We are three lecturers from the School of Media at the University of Lincoln in the UK, and our university has an initiative which is entitled The Student as Producer. And under the auspices of Student as Producer, we launched a project in a photography module last year, in which we tried to incorporate both the principles of Student as Producer and the principles behind Deleuze and Guattari's concepts of the rhizome. So let's just say very briefly what Student as Producer has meant to us.
I suppose initially it was about a new way of teaching, a more democratic format, where rather than the hierarchical system that we currently have, in which the lecturer and the student sort of relationship
has become like that of a consumer,
exactly,
consuming a product, or there's very little kind of dynamic
there is
relationship there.
So the student's producer, I guess, gives a totally radical way of looking at that relationship, seeing the student as more of a on an equal, sort of an equal footing with the academic establishment.
The general idea being that they would no longer be simply appendages to the whole business of education, that they would be, you know, primary agents. They would move and transform education. They would produce something new.
Exactly, yeah.
And it was, based on that, the idea was that our entire approach to this module would be providing a very, very loose framework for inquiry and then just seeing where that goes.
It was,
and not having any kind of target or targeted outcome or a program.
No.
Or really any expectations, I think, as to where it
I think, I guess it was, you know, my initial interest was allowing the students to lead the unit and really seeing what it was that they were interested in or what they resonated with.
Actually making it explicit that this was a political initiative as well, that the particular problems we face in teaching media and media production and photography being a part of that is that the whole thing is geared towards the exigencies of the creative industries. There's a conformism that we wanted to overpower.
That's true.
And to make that an explicit part of the experience, that the students would, you know, work through some of those political concerns.
Yes, yeah.
And I mean, one of the phrases that we kind of used and came up several times, I think probably used by Mike in his original paper for Student as Producer, is this idea of it being a time of crisis, and that there needs to be a response to this idea of of crisis, and therefore the experience of undertaking this as a project would be to explore what your relationship is to this crisis on a wider scale than your immediate vicinity or you know, the kind of narrow interest that you might ordinarily go into a unit
having. So I think it was so that came along with the Students Producer initiative at the university, but then also
the concept of the rhizome.
Concept of the rhizome came in, didn't it?
And I think clearly a lot of the purchase that the concept of the rhizome offers is that it's all about, you know, how we act and work together and produce something new as a community. How we insert ourselves and work within, you know, the kind of in the middle of our context, the spaces that we populate.
It did seem to kind of, I suppose the elements of the rhizome really matched that idea of the student's producer, didn't it? Responding to things as they happened. Asking our students to do the same, as, you know, we were prepared to do as well.
Yeah. That was very important right from the beginning, wasn't it? When we gathered everybody together, that, you know, the curriculum is going to emerge from us as a community. And that it's not something, you know, we don't want you to begin by separating yourself off as individuals and, you know,
hiving off,
you know, we want something to emerge through these group encounters.
And it's probably worth just talking briefly about the response to that initially, because obviously one of the reasons I think a lot of people said that, oh, I've come in to do photography primarily because I want to work as an individual, I don't
want to work within a group.
Yeah, they've actively kind of moved away from other alternative forms of media.
Which rely on group work.
And I think initially the reaction was quite bad, wasn't
it? Strong resistance to those concepts.
It was important to challenge that notion of the photographer as a kind of romantic figure, a kind of solitary genius.
Wandering the landscape, that's true. So yeah, there was that quite strange reaction at the beginning, well, quite adverse reaction, I guess. And then I think that's just, maybe that's again an understanding of how a group works, you know, in the hierarchical system of the group that are already in the other media practices.
Yeah.
I don't think we were particularly interested in that, maintaining that hierarchical system.
Mm.
We were looking for that more of that sort of, I guess, the rhizome approach, which is that kind of, people rubbing up against each other. But
also the machinery of photography as well, getting them to think more reflexively about the relationship to the camera.
Yes.
Yeah. That the camera is part of a rhizomatic assemblage. It's not just this kind of magical box that we cannot unlock or get into, that we need to get into the middle of that machinery as well and open it up to new uses.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
So that's the start of this, wasn't it?
We did present some examples of interesting writings and work, didn't we, as well?
We did, yes.
And I guess in relation to the idea of opening up the camera and thinking about the machinery of photography, the work in of the war photographers, I don't know if you want to...
Oliver Chanarin and Adam Bloomberg. The Day That Nobody Died series of images.
Yeah.
It was one of our initial starts, wasn't it?
Which was absolutely designed to kind of completely undermine that idea of the
photographic representation of
heroic genius character for a start of the war photographer being the absolute archetype of the individual photographer.
It is.
But also really kind of getting to grips with that idea of the machinic representation of an event as well, and really trying to kind of raise a lot of questions about the validity of it and the usefulness of that approach.
Mm. I thought it was very useful, that
absolutely
piece of work, because it did open up the students to ways of seeing and thinking about photographic imagery.
Yeah.
And I think you could see some kind of resonance with that piece in several of the process and then the pieces of work that were produced within the group.
Along part of the project. Yeah.
One of the things, I suppose, was a breaking open of assumptions about genre. Mm. I remember the discussion, there were quite a few comments from students about, is this art, is this war photography, how does it, how does this fit within established genres, precisely the kind of thing we wanted to explore, wasn't it?
It was,
to challenge that assumption.
Definitely was, yeah. So, yeah, it was quite interesting, show that work. Other pieces of work we did show, which probably didn't have as, I think we said, didn't have as much effect.
Yeah.
It was possibly the street photography, Thomas Wolfe. And Michael Wolfe, sorry. And Philip Lorca de Corsia.
Yeah. I don't know whether perhaps it's because street photography is less definable perhaps in as specific terms as, I mean, it clearly is self-defining, but perhaps as a kind of historical genre, it's a bit kind of more fluid. So I don't know, the responses to that weren't... Well, initially, the responses within the session where we discussed it weren't as kind of interesting, I think, as the responses to the war photography session yet. I would say a lot of the students' activities afterwards were quite clearly kind of responded to that session, certainly with the idea of using material that's already existing. We were kind of looking at kind of data, effectively. That's what Michael Wolfe is doing. He's reinterpreting existing data.
He is, that's true, yes.
And there was some reluctance, I think, because they felt that they didn't have enough of a handle on the history of that,
possibly,
of street photography. And that was one of the things that I think emerged as a question for us, to what extent we need to provide a kind of timeline or, the history of these genres.
Yeah.
Is that something we should address in a future run-throughs of this project, or what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's what I'm going to implement in future.
Because we didn't want teaching. We knew we didn't want conventional lectures and seminars.
No.
So the question then becomes, how do you
provide that information?
How do you teach without, you know, foreclosing on these
Absolutely.
Topics?
Yes.
I think the moment you kind of start going down the path of analysing it genre by genre, you kind of lock yourself
You've stymied down. It already.
Yes, you have. Yeah. It's something to wrestle with. It is. So we'll carry on with. So
it's a problem with all teaching, though. It's that, you know, the context is one in which they see themselves as consumers, and if you don't come up with the goods, if you don't give them this diet, if you don't deliver them, you know, the history of the topic, then they feel shortchanged.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think there was quite a lot of, some of the belligerence in some of the early sessions, well, actually running right through.
Yes.
Revolved around those kinds of concerns. That I think we weren't fulfilling our responsibilities as responsible educators, you know.
Very true, yeah. Mm. Although I think by the end of it, what we have achieved with the students is some kind of a greater degree of independence.
Absolutely.
Of these students.
Absolutely.
I think what will be fruitful from this experience was this last year of their education, to see how they respond and adapt to that process, I think.
Even in the way that they were forced to consider how they might best object to our project.
Was
pushing them into forms of thinking that they weren't that familiar with. You know?
No, there were some interesting outcomes from doing this project in terms of some of the rebellious students did organise themselves as a community using Facebook as a protest, which I hoped would have carried on and maybe escalated into something larger than it did.
It did set up those kind of certain resonances, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Resonance was a concept that we wanted to introduce, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Quite early on, you introduced the Egyptian.
Yeah, there was a fascinating piece by a writer called Gaston Gordillo on a blog posting, which he wrote in March, responding to the protests and the revolution in Egypt. There are clear references to the rhizome as a way of thinking through that in his piece, but also he specifically addresses the idea of mobile media, Web 2.0, and the kind of user-producer context, which I think was a brilliant way of framing a lot of this ongoing discussion in terms of this idea of resonance, which he continually kind of comes back to in that, as a kind of... the idea that the rhizome is, you know, completely unfixed, and that we become almost kind of virally infected by this kind of affective uprising. The degree to which you can kind of work that into this idea of the point of crisis as something that we're much more globally connected with this kind of much wider community. It's not just about the coalition government, and it's not just about tuition fees. There's a kind of hugely complex kind of series of ideas which are all very much interrelated.
Yes.
I think that became quite apparent and was explored in a lot of ways, wasn't it, as the kind of unit unfolded.
Yes, it was, yes, yeah. I guess we wanted our students to be more politicised as well, didn't we, in terms of...
Without projecting our own
politics onto them. Yeah.
Which is a difficult one to balance.
It is very difficult, That agency, I think, is lacking in education.
Yeah.
Affective dimension, which is often, I think, suppressed in conventional education, was something that we, that did come alive, I think, in the sessions.
It did. They were, the sessions we had were very lively, energetic, well attended.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was unusual for the whole of the semester.
Yeah.
It was like sometimes going into battle. Of times. We never quite knew what the experience would be in those 1-hour sessions. Certainly quite You have your wits about you. That's quite interesting.
Do we want to talk about the kind of idea of the outcomes in terms of the things they were producing and the work itself? In as much as we were trying to move away from this idea of the entire semester being directed towards the production of a final piece of work or a portfolio or something like that.
Yeah, I think we're very much interested in trying to make it a process-led assessment as much as it was possible. Again, that took a lot of time to go through with the students, trying to convince them that this was a sensible and serious way of assessing their development as producers, I guess. We did a number of kind of, is it worth mentioning kind of like the token things we did in terms of offering them sort of blanket grades or sort of pass marks and things like that, do you think?
Well, we wanted to take some of the pressure off the whole business of assessment, didn't we? One of the things that's looming over them is...
failure?
Are they going to fail? Are they going to pass? Mm. And that kind of pressure can, again, suppress anything interesting emerging, can't it?
Yeah.
Any kind of experimental desire can be suppressed by that kind of anxiety.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was your innovation, wasn't
it? The idea that if they attended and were instrumental in the sessions, that we'd give them a blanket pass of 50%, which should, again, allow them to respond in a creative way and without any fear of failing.
If they're there, if they contribute, if they're part of the process, that's crucial.
But it's pretty much, I think any student that did that anyway on any course would end up with nothing dissimilar grade, I guess.
Mm.
You know, so it's not really inventing anything new. It's just,
but it was,
it's just a way
it was highlighting it, wasn't it? Kind of saying that this is what's important, rather than just kind of thinking from day one about what it is that you're going to make.
Yes.
And then just basically going through a kind of an effort to realise that, rather than actually being a bit more experimental, which the whole thing was supposed to be.
It was a bit of an experiment. And I think we set up a blog site as well to encourage them to interact with each other, not outside of the sessions that we held, which kind of, in some respect, worked for some of those that were engaged with the sessions.
I expected the take of that to be more than it actually turned out to be. The assumption is that contemporary students are fully keyed into networking, into online conversation and dialogue. Yeah. But in actual fact, that's not the case, I don't
think. No, not on that. No.
They needed quite a lot of encouragement to participate in the blog.
They did, yeah.
And there was quite some, I think initially at least anyway, nervousness about discussing ideas with other people, this idea
the fear of your ideas being stolen.
Yeah, well, that was one of them, wasn't it? Mm. But also, I think just a kind of real... Well, either a protection or just a nervousness about exposing them to any kind of criticism until they were already made, at which point people would perhaps stand back and say, oh, this is great.
But that's true. Yeah, that is the problem, isn't it, with the courses? I think this fear of showing work and being criticised.
But actually, I thought the most useful parts of the blog in that respect were, albeit, again, it wasn't kind of necessarily overtly critical, even in a constructive way, of people's ideas as they're unfolding, but there was quite a bit of discussion about what do people think about this, would anybody like to work with me on this project, does anybody have something, a similar idea that we might be able to combine together and kind of
it was very beneficial for that, wasn't it?
And we saw that at the end, that there were a number of people who produced
some good collaborative work
who probably would never have done that beforehand.
No, I doubt it, very much doubt it. And one of the culminations of the process was having a kind of that external show put on under the bridge in the city centre, which is kind of a spontaneous event.
Yeah, and I think that, again, one of this idea of trying to break out of this kind of static producing work to merely be consumed within the university or by us or by themselves. When you graduate, you kind of have this show and show it to the rest of the city. But I think it's quite a new thing, isn't it, to kind of suggest to second years that they would actively kind of show their work and get the public to engage with it at that stage. So, and I think, again, there was a bit of, why would we want to do that? You
know, it was quite interesting.
That but the engagement with the exhibition was brilliant.
I found it quite amazing actually, being in, just as an observer, being involved in it. It did feel like it was a real, something was happening. It felt like a proper community that appeared.
For
that short period of time, you know, and it was interesting again their response with the people around them that were coming to see it and going through it, passing through it.
I think it was essential, and that would have to be there in future. Runners of this project. One of the temptations I think to see, you know, the online environment as a panacea. I mean, there's this kind of that kind of easy equivalence that's often assumed between the internet and some kind of rhizomatic way of working. It certainly facilitates communication, but I think it's by no means
the only solution. Platform.
So the blog, you know, was never going to be the answer by itself. It always had to give issue to some kind of real world.
Yes. Yeah. No. Definitely.
Concrete exhibition.
Actual agency in the world, I think, was the most exciting part of the project.
And the symposium that we organised as
course,
well,
yes,
I think,
yes.
Yeah, was interesting.
The two-day symposium where people talked about their work to each other. That was a very beneficial approach. Again, if we, you know, in future, I'd like to, that'd be really good to open that up, to a wider, much wider audience as well, to allow anyone to come along to that.
Yeah.
I guess this was our first time, and I guess we've slightly nervous about it, not sure what was going to happen, so it was quite, I suppose, a low-key event in terms of the public being there. All the students were obviously there, but I think next time it could be opened up to a much wider audience for them to come in, and again, that would be a really interesting debate, hopefully would happen when our students are talking about their work and practice.
So
some fantastic things came, I think, quite positive things came out of it.
One of our conclusions was that some of the problems that we had, we anticipated them, and they needn't be seen as problems necessarily, but there were difficulties created by the fact that this was a standalone project. And one of the things we've discussed is that these kinds of ideas and new ways of working need to be bedded in right from the moment they arrive at university. So this was a second year project, but there needs to be some kind of easing into those kinds of ways of thinking.
Definitely, it was kind of an island, wasn't it? This module was operating very much differently to everything else that they were doing on the course.
I think particularly the idea of or the expectation of doing a practice unit is that it will be free of any theoretical
It just seemed to be
so the fact that we were kind of hitting them with
lots of theory,
I think it was just this one notion really that we were kind of continually going back to and exploring, but it was quite perhaps complex thinking.
In
terms of how they would ordinarily approach this.
I guess they saw it as, they compartmentalised it again, didn't they?
Yeah.
They had the students producer as some kind of theory to deal with.
Okay, right.
And then they dealt with, and they had the rhizome as a second piece to deal with.
Well, of course, you know,
they found them, they didn't put the, weren't able to, yeah, to join them together conceptually, I guess.
Well, the conventional approach to education is thoroughly arborescent, isn't it? Organises time, organises space, and the way people come together and encounter one another along, you know, that kind of tree logic, the lines of the arborescent logic. So to fully realise some rhizomatic model of education needs thinking, you know, right through the whole
career. You start when they first get here. You don't launch into it somewhere in the middle of an education system.
I think it recommends a more reflexive approach to modularisation and the relationship between the different topics and modules that they study as well.
Yes, yeah.
So theory and practice being a key concern.
Yeah, I think so. And there were kind of points during this where I thought there were, you know, you could really see how that could work in a much more
connectivity.
The point at which it would become a much more established way of working across the board within the school, I think, because at the moment there is that division between the two approaches, and if we can kind of use this as a way to kind of chip away at that that wall between the two, then I think that's the best possible outcome, really.
It is, yeah.
But there was some limited success there, I think, in that in some of the work that they'd produced, they were drawing on sculpture, performance aspects. So they were breaking beyond the traditional bounds of photography practice, weren't they?
Absolutely.
There's some interesting sort of, looking at the actual photographic image as well, and just deconstructing that through the digital aspect. Again, was something we wouldn't have expected from our students.
That's right.
You know. I guess especially when we talk about this idea of media being linked, unfortunately the media degree being linked to sort of industry and industry outputs.
And so, I mean, I think we kind of suggested it quite early on that, that one of the key things that would be useful to think about is why study photography within a media paradigm.
Yeah.
You know, what's different to studying photography in a media paradigm than it is to studying it within a fine art. And to really kind of explore that in as positive a way as you possibly can, rather than trying to bracket it off as a piece of fine art approach within a school of media, which is the most redundant kind of approach.
It is, yes. Yeah, I think the concept of the rhizome is useful for thinking about photography as part of a media ecology.
Absolutely.
The notion of the ecology is, came to the fore, didn't it?
Mm.